we're good to go.
Hello. Hi, guys. We're back.
We keep doing it.
Today's a very sad day. We are pouring one out for Anthony Bourdain, or as he was affectionately known to his friends.
Tony.
Oh, Tony, we will miss you so much.
No, but really, though. I woke up this morning around 8 a.m. to like a Hollywood Reporter notification, which I get on my phone.
Yeah.
And then immediately remembered 2 days ago when me and you were talking mad shit on him on the train.
Yeah, well, I'm in a lot of hot water for that, which I'll come around to a little bit later. But Anthony Bourdain was, you know, a class act, a great showman, a very sexy looking man who could get it in hell.
Only kind of got better looking.
Yeah.
Was gorgeous when he was young.
Yeah.
Bad boy chef.
Yeah.
And just became more like silvery and fine.
Sexy silver fox. My mother used to say that anybody who survives a heroin addiction lives forever. And that's like certainly the case with like, you know, someone like
that. It has certain preservational qualities. Yeah.
Or who else did heroin? Did Iggy Pop do heroin? Probably. Yeah. Like they get like very skinny and sinewy. I guess Anthony Bourdain hanged himself earlier today, which is really like the most horrific way to go. Like no jokes, no lulls, no hot takes.
As did Kate Spade a couple days ago
with her own scarf. Yeah. And there's a new report from federal health officials that suicide rates in America are up 30% from 1999 to 2015. The findings were reported by NBC News, and they come from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And they also found that half of the people who successfully died by suicide did not have diagnosed mental health conditions. So
that it didn't seem. I mean, I'm skeptical about that.
Me too. Just
because mental health is already something that's so hard to.
Yeah, like this is, it's like the double kind of like dual issue that statistics are kind of wobbly and mental health designations are wobbly, but basically people who hadn't been through the mental health ringer.
Yeah, the findings that they cited sort of pointed to other things like relationship problems, substance misuse, physical health problems, job or financial problems.
Yeah.
Which all are things that could, you know, contribute to.
Yeah, conceivably, yeah. And there is also, I guess they also found that middle-aged adults were particularly at risk with the highest growth in suicide rates. And I think a lot of this has to do with the kind of resounding theme of this podcast, like the drudgery and toil of life under neoliberalism. But, you know, you have to wonder, like Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade were like very well-off individuals, and even they weren't immune to suicidal ideation. But I think like the news of the loss of Bourdain is like a really hard pill to swallow for me, at least, because, you know, I tweeted this afternoon that Bourdain had a lot of parallels with the leftist music and culture critic Mark Fisher, who committed suicide last year. And, you know, he was a similarly beloved, if more like mass market figure. And I think, you know, for me at least, he was like a beacon of hope because he navigated the complexities of modern life with kind of a sensitivity and empathy and humanity that's like lost in the general culture at large.
Right.
And also like, you know, it was a setback for what it spells for his fan base, which is kind of a foreclosing of hope, or what Mark Fisher described in really beautiful terms as like the slow cancellation of the future. Which is like very depressing, like in the face of the kind of the rapid pace of late capitalism, basically.
But you, because a couple of days ago you had a tweet about Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, I did. I had a tweet. A lot of people were mad at me today on Twitter because I had a tweet a couple of days ago, believe it or not. This is the second time that I've like criticized somebody on Twitter and then they've died.
Who else?
It's always a beloved figure.
Who else?
Carrie Fisher. It's really shitty. I was like sort of like dumping on Carrie Fisher, and then, you know, 2 days later she was dead. Yeah, a couple of days ago I'm a horrible harpy witch, a harbinger of death and destruction. Mm-hmm. bottomless pit of like, despair and decay. But a lot of people
on Twitter, you never say anything bad about me.
hang yourself with like a bralette or some panties. So a lot of people were mad at me on Twitter because a couple of days ago I criticized Bourdain for the inconsistency of his positive position on women's issues in the wake of Me Too compared to his performative denial of animal suffering, which I realize now was possibly like a gesture of self-preservation because he was probably like a sensitive person who absorbed a lot of the horrors of the world. But I had just come off of watching this episode of Bourdain, the Borneo episode, where he spears a sobbing pig in a net and then goes on about how he like is remorseless and not
sad. Shall I read the tweet?
Yeah, if you want.
Anthony Bourdain thinks Vindictive Harpy, Rose McGowan, and washed up cornball Iggy Pop are cool, but socialism and veganism are whack because he's a perennial adolescent who confuses a performative lack of empathy for the transgressive gesture, which is a fair critique and can mutually exist with mourning the loss of someone you admire.
Yeah.
And I did unretweet it.
Yeah, I figured you would. Yeah, I figured. It's okay. No hard feelings, Dasha.
Just poor timing.
Yeah. But I mean, I think overall it was a fair critique. And the only reason I made that critique.
And one that he probably would have been, not to like speculate about the recently deceased, but I'm sure one that he would have been open to.
But it's like.
And Rose McGowan's behavior was, in light of his death with her like sobbing histrionic video, also completely vindicated
me. Yeah, I felt vindicated. I mean, this is like a critique that like is not mutually exclusive of my sadness. A lot of people on Twitter are like, you were kind of trashing
now you're
him.
Sad.
And now you're sad. And I'm like, well, no, I was always sad about Anthony Bourdain because he was like one of my favorite cultural figures. Mm-hmm. And I obviously cared about his politics because I admired his position at large and I admired his show. Like I wouldn't like I was telling the ladies earlier, I wouldn't give a shit if we were talking about like Dinesh D'Souza or Ben Shapiro or one of these retards who's not even worth our outrage, you know?
I think the only problem with that veganism and animal rights critique, which you know very well that I love animals.
Of course.
But I think Anthony Bourdain had this obsession with going into these communities, oftentimes marginalized communities, and not alienating through
cultural relativism.
He's not going to sit at a table and like push away like a roasted hog or any body part of an animal.
No.
Or
and that's also this like very chef-y ethos of like.
Well, that was one of the things that like somebody kind of was like, well, you know, you realize that a lot of being like a chef is incompatible with veganism. And I was like, it's not so much that he is kind of circumspect about the slaughter of animals in the industry. It's that he would, I think, like performatively relish in their slaughter on television because, once again, probably as a defense mechanism.
Yeah, I think he'd rather not alienate the community he was visiting.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one thing. That the second thing is like, you know, you don't have to gloat in it for the audience, which is like an Anglophone, like fairly privileged audience, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, he's apologized profusely for perpetuating the bad boy, like kind of bro culinary stereotype,
which still prevails
absolutely
very much so to this day.
But I was, you know, I was really truly like outraged by the Rose McGowan tweet where she like posted a video of her sobbing and described how mad she was at Anthony for killing himself and then issued like a potboiler remark about suicide hotlines.
Well, and she also
the suicide hotline posts like all over the feed is so cynical and makes me so
it's so disgusting.
Yeah. What I had took issue with is that she calls it a temporary problem. And I think for people living within the shackles of mental illness their entire life, it's not a temporary problem. It never goes away. And so to like kind of act like a psychopath, I mean, I get it. She's she's very upset, but.
And very damaged.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we shouldn't downplay her own trauma, but,
she shouldn't have a platform.
She,
you know,
like an influential platform. Yeah.
Well, his girlfriend, wait, they're not married,
Asia,
right?
Asia Argento, yeah.
Yeah. She tweeted like a very tasteful and dignified little note out today.
Well, you know, she's a far more tasteful and dignified woman than Rose McGowan.
And she requested, like, you know, please respect your privacy and like silence.
Hours before his body was found, she did post.
I saw this.
On her Instagram story of picture of her wearing a t-shirt that said fuck everybody with a caption that said you know who you are.
Oh.
And then after he was found dead, she took it down.
Did she delete it?
Which caused people to speculate as to like some people think he was perhaps about to get Me Too'd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sadly crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm. And so he sort of preemptively took his own life.
Okay. Jesus.
I've also heard that he was maybe murdered by
let's have it out Go on.
Another theory I heard was that Harvey Weinstein had him killed by the same Mossad agents he had following Rose McGowan. Because he was such a male ally that Weinstein couldn't risk having him on the loose. And the wildest take perhaps was from Alex Jones, friend of the pod, on our sister network InfoWars, posited that he was murdered by globalists because he was about to come out as a Trump supporter, or as Alex Jones put it, he was planning to do a Kanye West.
Wait, globalists meaning Jews?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Sorry that I had to clarify that. Bourdain was such a hard-boiled, dyed-in-the-wool liberal.
Yes.
That I couldn't ever imagine him jumping on the Trump train. Like, can you imagine?
No, clearly that's insane, and that is so sinister of Jones to even capitalize on this moment.
He's the type of guy who was so kind of invested in his own kind of reformed bad boy position that his Trump's vulgarity and like lack of decorum would have been completely off-putting to him.
Right. He was absolutely not about to do a Kanye West.
But like, I mean, can you imagine like you know, Anthony Bourdain calling a suicide hotline? Like, that's an obscene image. And I really resent you guys having the same haircut as this horrible histrionic
as McGowan.
Vicious succubus of
you
a woman.
You have a cuter Thank haircut. You.
Yeah.
You've got she just has sort of a straight up buzz.
Yeah. But I was like thinking like, you know, way to take a shared tragedy that we're all mourning because this is a very public figure and like somehow make it about yourself.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Alex Jones did also mention that he had met with Elon Musk in Morocco to discuss a big awakening that was happening.
Yeah. And I was thinking about like I had a little bit of a back and forth exchange with this guy, David Rudnick, who's like a graphic designer. It wasn't it was an amicable exchange, not an inflammatory one. But he had a good tweet today that said that basically we've created a world that only rewards people who can shut out their sensitivity and empathy, and that those who refuse to live by that standard do so at a tremendous risk to themselves. And I was thinking about how
David Foster Wallace
is
another example of someone who's profoundly in touch and empathetic and just couldn't sustain it.
And I think, you know, there's a type of person who sort of like absorbs all the horrors of the world and is kind of crippled by them in a way. Mm-hmm. And that applies to Fisher as well as to Bourdain. I was thinking about like Fisher, if you guys remember, had a really important, very controversial essay called Exiting the Vampire Castle. Mm-hmm. Where he like sort of implicated the toxic, self-defeating, internecine warfare of the modern left for its failure to gain like a foothold in contemporary politics. And I there was a good piece by Amber.
Was that his last essay? No.
No, I think it was one of the later ones.
He left Twitter after.
He left Twitter, yeah. But he was like completely crucified. And there's a good quote from Amber where she talks about how he infuriated much of the self-identified left by arguing that a shallow and noxious liberal identity critique delivered mostly on the internet was being used to undermine class politics and left discourse. And, you know, even though Fisher's point was delivered in the most compassionate and charitable language. He was still crucified for it, even to the point where after he died, people were toxic male bro, cishet bro, uh-huh. which of course contributed probably to his suicide. Like one of the things that I heard was that basically, because I asked my friend who was like a former student of Fisher's, I asked him like, well, how did you feel about him killing himself when he left behind like a wife and a kid?
Yeah.
And then it turned out, I've heard that basically his wife and kid were being so threatened in their home by these like horrible people that his calculation was almost like, if I kill myself, I would protect them or whatever.
August Ames was another Twitter induced suicide.
Who was that?
She
was a porn star who tweeted, who didn't want to do a scene with a porn actor who also did gay porn, due to like a pretty informed, reasonable view that like of HIV transmission rates and stuff.
When did this take place?
This was in December.
Oh.
She tweeted, and she tweeted about it and was like, sort of to let other actresses know, like to be informed that this was like, a practice that they should be aware of. And then, you know, people on Twitter just dumped down her throat, calling her like a homophobe and stuff. And I'm sure she like suffered from depression, et cetera, but she took her own life after like, her mentions were just a goddamn mess, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot, like, I think, like, social media and, like, the constant sensory overload of, like, being on the internet at all times, like, really contributes, it really intensifies people's pre-existing mental health conditions. And, like...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, David and I were talking about this on Twitter very briefly, and he was saying that, you know, incidents like these remind you that people who are like fighting the good fight should not be left to fight alone. And, you know, I appreciate his viewpoint, but my feeling is also that people who, you know, speak truth to power and are like champions of the truth basically are solitary creatures because, you know, they're ahead of their time. And by the time that...
And real truth to power, not just like liberal platitudes that are co-signed by
the
status quo.
By the time everybody else catches up to them, it's already too late. Like, and, you know, it's always like, you know, they always say like celebrity deaths come in three.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like biding our time.
For the third.
We had already planned to talk about suicide as a topic today. We were going to record today, and it's shocking and upsetting that Bourdain died today. And I was also like, just to go back to the question of class politics real quick. Sorry, I'm not doing any funny hot takes or anything like that today. I'm like really upset. But like, I think like his shows, like even Bourdain's like programming represented this kind of like old school style of television programming.
No reservation.
But you know, like all TV now, like the entertainment landscape is like people fucking and sucking in night vision or people offering their like half baked and racially inflammatory hot takes or people like agreeing to fight each other in like a no holds barred zero sum rat race of like extremely low stakes competition, like you win $10,000. And his shows were really like, in a sense, like somebody said it really well, I forgot who, but they were like basically the old school mold of television. They were equally edifying, like educational and accessible to a mass audience,
right?
And they made sense of like,
they were so watchable.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been passing these quotes around, but like him browbeating on Henry Kissinger regarding Cambodia. And it's like, it's amazing that you were able to do that at length on
on a popular TV show. But it like, it reminds me of kind of it's like a throwback to the heyday of public programming, like of the ilk of BBC or PBS, when there was only three channels that offered equally decent options and not like an endless array of equally bad alternatives.
Soviet.
Well, I mean, it is, but
he even ripped in that Kissinger quote. he's ripping on Charlie Rose with PBS.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he was able to be uncensored a little bit more also.
Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, I'm curious as to why that is. Like, why do you think that is?
I don't know. Tattoos. Just like, he was well, because,
yeah, he came, he built his career off of like this confessional,
like bad boy, you know, image, yeah.
Yeah, but in a all, like on a foundation maybe of honesty and like integrity,
yeah,
that he could have relinquished when he, you know, rose to some level of prominence but never really did.
Yeah, and I don't feel that he did. Like, I mean, I find some of his like liberal politics fairly infuriating as a person who's probably like left of his
yeah, but he's, but, you know what, he's like a corny Gen X in the most like benign way.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't find them to be insincere, which they are for a lot of people, like John Oliver or like Trevor Noah, like these talking heads. And I think, like, I mean, the thing that struck me is that
he was nothing if not like earnest, if you know, even corny.
And he did a good job. And like, you know, like you watch like what's the famous one that's on now that I'm really gonna miss, the show,
it's like
Parts Unknown.
On CNN.
And that's what I also call my pubic area. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, he was really hot. I really liked kind of observing his like leathery tattooed covered bodied. I don't like tattoos on men or women, generally speaking.
He only has a couple. He has like an Ouroboros.
Yeah, that somebody hammered in Borneo. He was like Angelina Jolie. He like went to kind of like this weird jungle enclave and whatever. Uh-huh. But like, no, I liked his tattoos. I thought they were like sexy.
Well, he has like the Sailor Jerry type tattoos too.
He does. I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, what I mean to say is that like, Anthony Bourdain, I think when I say like he's like a throwback to the old public style of television programming, he's also a person who was like implicitly in support of class politics, which is radical and cool and unforeseen now.
And part of that was, you know, it had to do with his like travels,
yeah,
you know, and his like openness. And it is sad. It's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, traveling so much to different locales probably like gives you a sense for the fact that like actually like, you know, ethnically, culturally, racially, people are different, but they're more the same than they're different. And most of like society's ills come about due to classism, not like the folly of multiculturalism. Exactly. And I will say like, you know, like you watch all these episodes and he has like varying levels of joyousness for experiencing different like cultural cuisines, but he really hated Russia.
Iceland he hated too.
Yeah.
He notoriously hates Switzerland as well.
Interesting. Well, those, I mean, I enjoy Russian food, but.
Me too. Hashtag me too.
Iceland and a lot of Swiss, I can get behind being pretty gross.
A lot of TV hosts hate Russia. Like, I watched, this is shameful to admit, but I watched Chelsea Handler's show. I don't even think it probably got canceled recently.
She's a fucking bitch.
I know, she's a bitch. But she went to Russia and she was such a twat the whole time.
What was Donny's problem with Russia?
I just think he really didn't like the food.
Donny, why do you not like us?
I don't know. He went. He had some political aversions as well.
I think, yeah, he was probably creeped out.
Well, his thing with Iceland was that it's so isolated that there's no way that a vibrant cuisine could
come about.
I mean, fermented shark is disgusting.
I've never had it, but the housewives, the Orange County housewives have it, and they all like kind of like ratchet up. It's it seems disgusting.
I tried it when I was there.
I'd love to, you know, make a nice olivier for him. Yeah.
Olivier, vinaigrette.
Did you guys?
Zakuski for Tony.
You know, maybe Dasha, when we ascend to heaven or hell or wherever we're going, we could be part of
Tony's harem.
Did you guys see the Hannah Moskowitz tweet where she said, can we veer away from the, wow, this one is hard rhetoric with regards to Bourdain? Think about what the implication is here, what you're saying about Kate Spade, what you're saying about women.
So retarded.
So who is Hannah Moskowitz person?
Who is this Hannah Moskowitz person? How dare she?
How can a Jew be so stupid?
I mean, it goes without saying that's a dumb ass take, but beyond that, it's like, because Kate, yeah, because Kate Spade is a woman.
I think plenty of people were talking about Kate Spade's suicide. It's just that she made handbags and this guy,
it was like a prominent cultural figure.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know what Kate Spade looked like.
Yeah, until it's like she apples and took oranges. Her own
life, and
yeah.
Of course, it's still tragic.
Yeah, it's like she made luxury goods.
Yeah,
this is a different ball game.
She was part of a luxury dynasty that included David Spade, right? Wasn't he one of their
relatives? Her brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, but that's like so typical of like the current like lib femme rhetoric to like kind of deliberately mix metaphors and confuse terms and like make apples into oranges. I mean,
also she popped off with this one at 7:27 a.m. I wow. hadn't even seen
this is when the news the broke. News.
Yeah, it's just like,
so yeah, who was in her feed already, like, yes, espousing the virtues of Bourdain?
Maybe sit on it for
Spade.
Half of a day.
Yeah, like, give Jesus. It a yeah. Let's see, I mean, how it comes out in the wash.
That's another thing that, like, we, you know, we as women can't really critique. It, you know, it goes back to the Rose McGowan thing. There is a very overtly punitive, vindictive streak to liberal feminism that loses sight of kind of the main point of feminism, which is that it's an empathetic, class-based movement, right?
Yeah.
That aims to gain equality and justice for the most marginalized people. And it's just like a very bizarre take on the day that somebody, like a very, again, a beloved cultural figure dies, to come with this like weird,
yeah, it's like a
feminist,
very classically short-sighted,
yeah,
liberal feminist take.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, when Amy Winehouse died, there was no shortage of people. I mean, it wasn't suicide, but it might as well have been.
Sure.
I'm still very upset about Amy Winehouse. I know plenty of people who are. Because she was also
much
like
too soon.
Yeah. And she was also like a very, when Carrie Fisher died, there's another woman who was like,
how
very,
did Carrie Fisher die?
I think she had a drug overdose.
Okay.
So right. Again, but yeah, she was a very troubled person her whole life.
Yeah.
Very
notoriously. Kind of like, and openly.
Marilyn Monroe. Yeah.
I mean, I do believe in one's right to die.
Yes. Well, that's another thing that like, we should, like, talk about. There's like this, you know, whole, I guess, Catholic idea that suicide is cowardly.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I grew up sort of Catholic and I didn't get that takeaway.
Well, it's like Christianity in general. I mean, most religions, I think, condemn suicide.
Yeah, but I was thinking about
on the
it.
Grounds that it's like squandering the gift of life that God bestowed on
someone. What's Judaism's take?
I wouldn't know. I'm not Jewish anymore.
None of us are real Jews. But I'm sure it's frowned upon. I mean, any Judeo-Christian religion.
Meg, I think you got to take to Google and hit that Judaism.
I don't think there. I would be very surprised if there was any Judeo-Christian faith in which suicide was sanctioned.
I only know about the front end of life, which is that they believe life begins at first breath. So in the abortion debate, that's cited frequently.
At first anal.
But I've seen, I mean, beyond Rose McGowan, I've seen, like, Val Kilmer released a statement sort of about how angry he was and how cowardly it was of Bourdain to take his own life. And with suicide, I think that, yeah, it's like the critique, right, is that it's selfish, is that it, like, which it is, it deprives
the world of your great presence,
your presence.
Well, you know, there's a really
on an individual level, it's like, I think,
yeah, like, you can't, the one thing that was there's a really great quote from one of my favorite authors, Alberto Moravia, that all suicide is an act of spite, and I generally do believe that. And, you know, if we want to get into the male versus female statistics, they are that men
succeed
more often than women.
Yeah,
because there is a school of thought that says that, you know, all these women who are basically threatening to commit suicide or going through the motions are basically doing it as a cry for help, whereas men genuinely want to take their lives. I don't know. I'm not going to get into
that. The statistical, the rise of suicide rates in the U.S. has also seen an increase in like firearm suicides, which have like an 80% success rate or something. It's one of the most efficient ways.
And that's probably mostly men, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And women tend to favor like drug overdoses.
Okay.
Which are, you know, like a nice dramatic gesture, but not...
They're harder to implement because you never know, like a handful of pills, you don't know if you're going to, you know.
How would you guys
do
it?
How would I do it? I'm a coward, so I would want to do it in the least painful way possible. I would probably just, you know, take my cat and go into the garage and like turn on the exhaust or whatever. I'm taking my daughter down with me.
The garage. Whatever. Your garage in Ridgewood.
I would like, I've thought about
her non-existent car.
Very,
I guess I'd have to go
a very optimistic suicide ideation.
Well, you guys, this is why I can't
commit
suicide as much as I like want to all the time, because I would have to go to my mother's house in New Jersey and then she'd have to discover me and that would be really fucking dark.
You haven't ascended.
I just can't do it because I have a fucking dog to take care of now.
Well, you know, I've always said that pets
well,
are
you write in the note, you
suicide.
Say, Fran.
What's that?
In your note, you have to specify who takes care of the dog, and then
no one's going to take Fran. Fran's evil.
How would you do it?
I definitely wouldn't hang myself. That is so dark.
No.
That
is dark.
I don't even
I
know how to tie a noose. Yeah. Honestly, I would probably drown.
You can't.
That's romantic, Dasha.
Yeah, I would get really fucked up and like walk into the sea or something. exactly. Or jump in front of a train.
Yeah, well,
because
of
the
which,
drama.
Yeah. The, you would
and you
get,
like sync up a really sick song in your headphones,
like
and then
the
you
Weekend,
just
the Hills, or Bruno Mars. What's the one with Cardi B? Whatever.
Ariana Grande,
Side to Side,
and then like, I just let my body fall onto the tracks.
Yeah, I was actually,
and then you get to ruin a bunch of people's day, which is really
totally
cool.
Like like the train system, the MTA system is already fucked up, and it's going to be like, you know, another hour before everybody, 3 hours before everybody gets
and
on.
And in my note, I'll make sure in my note that the MTA is to blame. Yes.
The sad reality is no one is going to remember it the next day.
Right.
Because no one, everyone's evil and no one cares.
Well, yeah, I had a suicidal ideation when I was walking here today because I was at the intersection of like Nostrand and Lexington.
Nice.
And I was thinking about how like exhausting and miserable my life is. And I saw a New York City bus with the like a billboard on the front for the Museum of Sex. And I was like, how I want to go mowed down by a Museum of Sex billboard.
Or like a one of those Google Street View cars that surveils and photographs neighborhoods.
I
just
feel
walk
like
in front of those.
You know, I feel like committing suicide is like no longer necessary in this day and age because we're all going to be like lined up and shot by like whatever tech lord.
It's only a matter of
like
time.
Elon Musk or whoever assumes
I'll see you
the
in a
presidency.
Ditch.
Yeah.
I
had a sad thought that sort of made me, I guess the last time I was really suicidal, which wasn't that long ago, I sort of thought the best way to go would also be to leverage my death in some kind of like political, you know, gesture where I would either like try and assassinate, like figure out who I could actually assassinate that would maybe make the most impactful. I'm going to get like on a list now, but
yeah, that's okay. We're all on lists here.
Just like who the best like political figure it would be for me to try and take out. And then
yeah, I would
just use my already mean. Yeah, exactly. Detonate the vest. It's some in a way that really counted.
And then you could be sort of like a romantic heroine.
You're
who's like wearing like a, you know, a cravat or whatever, a kerchief or a beret.
But thinking about David Foster Wallace recently, I had a moment where it dawned on me how much he would have like enjoyed maybe cerebrally like a Trump presidency.
Yeah.
And how unfortunate it is that he never
got to see it.
So that made me kind of that gave me pause to be like, you should try and stick it out because something really retarded is going to happen and like you're going to really want to find out what it is.
I know. Well, that's a great philosophy to have because that's like really the only thing that keeps me going. Like the fact that I have to like feed this cat and also the fact that something really cool and retarded might happen that I like might want to witness.
We could all die in like a nuclear war.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't want to miss out on that.
I'm afraid that will happen and I'll survive. Well, it definitely will survive because there's like reactors upstate that are bound to implode. And the nuclear like waste.
You think you'll survive?
Roll off would be like to hit where I live in Queens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'll survive and then I have to like deal with radiation.
You'll just get really sick.
Yeah. You're just going to die slower.
Skin won't like burn off in some really badass way.
Yeah. I don't know. I have really terrible nightmares about like apocalyptic things that I frequently think are still real hours after they happen.
Oh, I've been having pettier and pettier dreams about like people blocking me on Twitter and like other kinds of doomsday scenarios like that.
Yeah.
Who in your recent memory besides Bourdain was the celebrity death that made you saddest?
I mean,
anyone?
Prince and Bowie.
You were bummed about.
I'm really dead inside.
I don't get like crazy mm-hmm. like on Twitter and I'm not on Twitter, but like Facebook and Instagram, like putting out tributes, but it just makes me feel a little funny. I also worked in a psychiatric hospital in college and I worked on the adolescent floor. So I think I have a rough time with this subject matter,
with death in general, or
suicide and
I
mental
love death
and mental chaos. Illness
I'm obsessed with chaos.
but you know, working with 10-year-old schizophrenics was a very scarring experience for me.
Do you guys want to know something crazy?
What's that?
I've never really known anyone who's died.
Wait, really?
You're very lucky, Tasha.
Yeah. Three of my grandparents, but they're like
old.
In Belarus. Yeah. I didn't even really have relationships with them. I mean, I'm sad. I was sad about their deaths, but it wasn't like no one I've really ever been close to have considered like a dear friend has ever passed away.
But you have a small family, right?
Ish. Very small, yeah.
Yeah. See, I have a huge family. Like there was a point in time during my like middle school years and high school years where it was like every week I was going to a funeral of a family member.
Irish people.
Well, that's my dad's side, sure. But yeah.
No, I mean.
But that kind of makes me feel like I might be
you're going to be the tragic figure. The tragic waif.
How old are you? 27.
Oh. You got to do it this year. You know, it sucks because I don't want to encourage Dasha to commit suicide because we're running a very promising grift here together. We all need each other to survive, but you know, if you're gonna do it, you gotta.
Now's the time.
Yeah, I really like. I really kind of missed the suicide boat, just like I missed the birthright boat, and now I have to like really see it through to the horrible end. I will say the celebrity that I'm like so upset about still is George Michael.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
I love him because he was so sweet and sensitive.
Yeah, and cool and hot. And
Freddie
gay.
Mercury.
Yeah, and had great style.
I was sad about.
Who? About Freddie Mercury.
Marky Smith. Oh. He's like not even a celebrity, but he was the frontman of this band, The Fall.
Lil Peep.
Lil Peep, you know.
Someone's going to, I think the next one's 6ix9ine, but he's going to get murdered.
Oh, God. He's the worst.
But besides that, like none of celebrity deaths don't. When I remember when Lou Reed died, I had very recently moved to LA, and there was a bunch of girls in my house like crying, and I was like, "Do you all know that like Lou Reed? I mean, and I love Lou Reed. I'm like a Velvet Underground like super fan." And like the various solo careers of their members, but when he died, I was like, you guys know, like, Lou Reed wasn't, like, a really good person. Like, it's not, like...
Was he not? He seems like a guy that Anthony Bourdain would have been obsessed
exactly.
with.
Exactly. But he wasn't... No, he was, like, notoriously kind of, like, sociopathic.
Okay.
Or at least, like, in Please Kill Me, that's the impression you get in other, like, Velvet's
I think this is where, bios. Like, record heads get, like, blinded by...
Yeah,
music, and they think like it's like no, this person sucks.
Yeah, like yeah. Lou Reed is like probably like monstrous.
Well, yeah, no, but this is like all the people who were butthurt about me saying Iggy Pop was like a leathery cornhole or whatever. I'm just like, well, he seems like kind of a whack, shitty person who's like a seeker. Like I said, he's like the Jennifer Aniston of like pop music or rock music or whatever.
Same haircut.
I saw him in person at the documentary screening and oh, yeah. he was so short. It really threw me off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like people who still say like that stuff is rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like Bourdain was probably of that ilk. Yeah.
R.I.P. Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
I hope he's rocking and rolling
in heaven.
In heaven right now.
I hope I can get to heaven one day so I can suck his dick.
Oh my God.
Sorry. That's fine. That's we all mourn in different ways, yeah. Meg.
It's fine.
That's okay to say. Well.
Yeah. Well, wow. We just did an entire episode on suicide. Yeah. Jesus Christ. So just hang side note.
And this number for the suicide hotline is, just kidding.
1-800-RED-SCARE-TONY.
All right. This episode was recorded a little bit early for scheduling. So
if anyone else kills themselves before we post it, sorry we didn't get to it.
Yeah, we're sorry.
And Anna's going to try and curb the shit talking someone else.
I won't say anything mean. I'm going to, you know, I'm actually going to go on Twitter right now and say something mean about Bono because I've had enough of him.
God, he's going to die, Anna. Like, that's literally going to happen.
Any last words?
We'll see you in heaven, Tonya.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was a good episode. It was very...
Sad and then it got. We'll close out with this.
Okay, Adam.
I'll wait for you. Sleight of hand and twist of fate. A bed of nails, she makes me wait. And I wait without you, with or without you, with or without you. Through the storm we reach the shore, you give it.